church. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. For you, those actually in the building and those listening online. So we're going to start our worship this morning with Waiting Here For You.
Thank you. it's you we adore, singing hallelujah.
Let's just pray a second. Take a moment just to steady our hearts and minds, to still our thoughts, focus on the presence of God here, now, wherever you are, in this place, in that place. Your God is present. Your Father is near. Your King, Jesus, is close, and he looks at you with compassion and love in his eyes. And the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you. Closer than your skin, more present than the breath that you've just taken and the breath after that. And we join with the ancient prayer of the church, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, the prayer of Advent, the season of waiting for the coming Christ, of preparing for his arrival. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's really good to see some folks actually in the building. There's plenty of space, so if you want to come next week, please do book in on Church Suite and come along. You're assured of a warm welcome. I'm Jamie, I'm one of the ministers here, if you're joining us for the first time. I've just got a couple of announcements and notices. Looking forward, first of all, into the new year, into things that are happening, which are really exciting for us. We've been talking a lot about the leadership of the church and the next step and the next series of challenges and adventures that God has for us. And we were talking in the new year, we're going to be starting another Exploring Leadership group. So if that's something you might think, leadership, nothing to do with me. But if you've just got the slightest itch of interest, the slightest tickle that maybe God is saying something to you about your role in stepping forward, then I urge you, sign up for that course. Come and join us with the Exploring Leadership course. It's not like you're not going to be signed up for anything or shoehorned into anything. It is literally an opportunity to explore what Christian leadership is about. And you can just do it out of interest sake, to be honest. But also, if you are looking to test and explore that own that sense of calling you might have on your own life, it's a fantastic opportunity to do that. And some people that have done that and have been exploring with the Lord what God might be calling them into, and who we've been testing that with them, are Dan Clark and also Dave and Jess Lacey. We've been exploring with these folks for the last, couple of years really, what God might be leading them into. And so we mentioned Dan Clark at the last members meeting, but I want to bring Dave and Jess Lacey's names to you now as well, and invite you to be praying for them, praying about the call that God has on their lives. And we're going to be talking about this again in January, and maybe working towards a church meeting where we look to call these new folks into the leadership of the church. So by all means, shower them with all your difficult questions. They'll absolutely love that. You know, real tough ones, fantastic. Have a chat with Dave and Jess and with Dan as well. And it'll be really great to be exploring and helping them to discern this next season that God has for them. Okay, bringing things a bit close to home and the things that are happening in the next few weeks. We've got next Sunday our light procession. So this is taking the place of our normal carol service. hoping that it's all going to happen out in the car park, out the front. We're hoping that it'll be one of those lovely autumnal, crisp, dry, bracing, not rainy, not wet evenings. Please, Lord, hear our prayer. And that will be fantastic. There's going to be some fun stuff. Hopefully we're going to have mince pies and mulled wine and hot chocolate, restrictions notwithstanding, and there's going to be some carols. But the main thing is what we want people to do. The car park's going to be closed off, so don't try and park in the car park. Either walk to church, if you are able to walk to church, if you live close enough, or drive and park far enough away to give yourself a little walk up, because the vision that we've got for this is a procession of light. So hopefully there might be some pictures appearing on your screens. Are there pictures appearing? Thank you, Nick. Of just a very simple light. It could be a jam jar with a tea light in it, a battery tea light, a normal candle type tea light, any other candle, as long as it's safe and you're able to hold it. You could put some battery powered fairy lights in a jar or something like that. And we're going to bring them. So as we walk up towards the church, be holding those candles aloft, those lights aloft, and we're going to have a big heart in the front of the church, and we're going to bring our lights and we're going to put them inside the heart, so we form a heart of light shining out over Bognor that shows our love for our town and also Jesus's love for our town. Get my teeth in. Need a mask to hold them back in, but no. So that's the idea. We want to show our love. We want to show that Jesus is the light of the world and that his love for the world is most wonderfully expressed at Christmas. So that's going to be the theme. There's going to be some carols, aren't there, Paul? We're going to sing some carols. We're going to have some fun. And hopefully it'll be a really nice occasion. I must stop throwing things on the floor. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll be having a Zoom Christmas Eve service starting at 7 o'clock. It'll be like a family service. It won't be any more than an hour, probably about 45 minutes. Join us on Zoom. Hopefully it's going to be quite a lot of fun and also a real special time with traditional Christmas carols and songs and stories and that sort of thing, but also some other little surprises and odds and ends as well, hopefully. So that's Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, for about 45 minutes to an hour Christmas Eve service. If you haven't got the link for that, then please do contact the office and that will be sent to you. If you want any more details or any more information, please do drop us a line and we'll endeavour to help out. Now, this is the time of the service where we would normally be passing around the offering baskets, but we're not going to do that here, so you lot are safe. But if you would, the details should be appearing on your screen now. If you are able to support the church financially, if that's part of your worship and part of your engagement and involvement as part of this community, then we'd really encourage you to set up a regular standing order, give, or give whatever and however you feel led to give. Ultimately, it's between you and the Lord. So that's something you can be thinking about now. And then I'm going to hand back to Paul, and we're going to worship a bit more.
One more thing. There's a prayer meeting tomorrow night by Zoom.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Just reading this morning, Hebrews 13. And it says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say in confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Feel we're in a time of fear, and we don't need to fear because the Lord is with us all the time. And we just, if you're feeling scared or afraid because of what's going on in the world, just say, hallelujah, Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for blessing us. Because he will never, no, never, no, never forsake us.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high, in every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high, in every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high, in every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. When darkness tries to roll over my boat, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. When shame no longer has a place to hide, I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
There's power.
'Cause there's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out the grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. There's power that can break up every chain. There's power that can empty out the grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Cheers. I hadn't heard that latest song before, but I think it's a really powerful reminder that in the times when we have fear, when we have those worries, that they have no match against God, and that actually his love takes over everything. So welcome this morning. We have another message for this week, and we've kind of been taking on a bit of a loose theme over this Advent period, this Christmas period, and the theme is the heart of Christmas. And this theme is centered around a few different things, really. It's a reminder to us that Jesus is at the heart of Christmas, that through the incarnation, God fully reveals his heart to humankind. And it's a reminder that actually often there's some real key and central values that are expressed at the heart of Christmas. So love, joy, peace, giving, making time for other people. Sadly, that is not always expressed, but that is what part of the heart is of Christmas is all about. And the theme of the heart, it speaks of love. And what we're wanting to say in this period, in this time, is that we love Bognor and wanting to express that, which is part of why we are having the light procession and a heart set up outside the church, so that anyone going past can see that and can be reminded of the love for Bognor. And the heart speaks of care, it speaks of compassion, which is sorely needed all the time, but perhaps particularly for people at the end of a really difficult year. And finally, the heart also speaks of perhaps getting to the truth or getting to the central importance of an issue. So the heart of the matter, asking the bigger questions and considering where we're at in our journeys. So that's just a little thing that we're hoping to achieve over this Christmas period. And this message for today is kind of loosely centred around that theme as well. But the title for this talk is Magnify. And this is centred all around Mary, the mother of Jesus, and particularly around Mary's Magnificat, which is Latin for magnify. So that doesn't mean necessarily to zoom in, but actually that is about magnifying God, about praising God. So the reading for this morning, just a bit of a subtext before that, you will hopefully know this story, but the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will have a son and that she will call him Jesus. He will be the Son of God. And then we come into the reading for this morning, which is from Luke chapter 1, verses 38 to 56. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed are the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his holy and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. If we could have the next slide, please. So Mary, we all have heard of Mary, mother of Jesus. And I wonder what associations we have with this character in the Bible. Do we see her as a really key central character? Do we see her a bit more on the periphery? Do we see her as Mary, meek and mild? The Catholics are quite big on Mary. And us Protestants, we kind of push away from that and we say, no, Mary is not a saint. She was the mother of God. She gave birth to the Son of God, but she was perhaps just another character in the Bible. I wonder if sometimes we miss something around the real character and the heart of who Mary was. We will, as Protestants, we will revere King David, the Apostle Paul, Abraham, Moses. But what about Mary, lowly Mary? Well, God chose her. God could have chosen millions of people at that time, and God chose Mary. And perhaps sometimes we silence Mary. When we have the nativity story each year, we kind of skip parts of the passage that was just read, and Mary is kind of just, Gabriel tells her that she's going to have a son, and she's like, all right. And then she goes on a journey and gives birth to a son, and we kind of don't give much more to the character of Mary. But I think there's some real key bits that we often gloss over. And this morning, hopefully, we're going to focus a bit more on Mary and actually what we can really take from what she has to say and what we can take today as well. If we could have the next slide, please. So Mary's response to Gabriel that we start with in that passage. So she's just been told that she is going to give birth to the Son of God. I think that's a pretty amazing thing. But actually, she then expresses deep humility. If we could just have the words up, please. She says, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. So we have this young and married teenage girl who's just been told that she will give birth to the Son of God. And she says, let it be. Let it be. And actually, for her to say those words, that must have taken real bravery. That is a humble thing to do. That is a really radical and vulnerable thing to say. Mary's response of let it be is a really inspiring thing for her to have said. And that has actually inspired artists over the years. Perhaps you can see where I'm going with this. But the most famous title track of the Beatles' 12th and final studio album was Let It Be. And I would argue, you might find this really insulting, but I would argue that that's probably their only really good song. Maybe you think that is absolutely heretical. Let It Be. I think that's a good song from the Beatles. Not such a big fan of the rest. But actually, they kind of kept it vague as to the roots of where the lyrics of that song came from. But they talk about Mother Mary within that and use the words let it be. And if I was able to play it now, I would play that song because it has got some wonderful words. But due to not having permissions when we stream it, I'm afraid we can't do that. But maybe if you get the chance after the service, do listen to the Beatles' Let It Be and listen to it from the perspective of Advent. And listen with the words of Mary echoing in your ears. If you do get a chance to listen to that song, try and listen to it with an openness to how God might be calling you to slow down, to open your eyes in wonder and expectantly wait for the coming of Jesus. I wonder how God is inviting you in these coming days and weeks to echo some form of Mary's humble words of openness and acceptance, where she says, yes, I see, I'm ready. Let it be with me, just as you say. Ex-Archbishop Rowan Williams, in an Advent book called Ponder These Things, says there is a poem by Rilke called The Angel, in which the poet warns us against inviting angels into the house because they will turn the whole place upside down and seek out all the hidden corners and mould us into new shapes. And we open ourselves to God when we echo Mary's prayer, let it be, we might actually find ourselves turned upside down and our priorities rearranged, as Mary experienced when Gabriel appeared at her house. And at the moment, we are in the season of Advent, and we are still very much in the season of COVID. I wonder what patterns or routines we might have picked up over this time to bring ourselves a bit more of a sense of control. We are in a season where we have lost a lot of control, and maybe there are little ways that each of us have taken on different routines and patterns to gain back a little bit of that sense of control. Maybe some of us have put up protective barriers. Maybe we've metaphorically battened down the hatches where we've sought to protect ourselves. Maybe in doing so, though, we have closed ourselves off to God's Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. I hope that the words of let it be, the reminder to let God have God's way, can speak to us in this season, in this COVID season, in this Advent season, for us to be more open-hearted, to be more expectant, and to listen more as well. Could have the next slide, please. So if we jump through to Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, which is Latin for magnify, as I said, Mary magnifies the Lord, proclaiming God's greatness and rejoicing in God as Saviour. And she begins with God's actions in her own life as well, for God choosing her to be the mother of the Messiah. The Mighty One has indeed done great things for her. And then a little bit earlier on, we've had Elizabeth just welcome and honour Mary, saying, "Blessed is she who believed." And now she, in the Magnificat, clearly recognises with awe that not only Elizabeth, but all generations will call her Mary blessed. In our culture, if you use Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you might have picked up on the theme of hashtag blessed. It's become a bit of a meme across Facebook as well, where it's this sense where you say you're feeling blessed, and it kind of it makes regular appearances in Facebook posts where people will tweet images or post pictures of themselves, maybe, I don't know, enjoying a really delicious meal, or when they are on an exotic holiday, probably not over the past year, but where they've got this idyllic scene, or where they are experiencing some other sense of luxury, and they do kind of the hashtag blessed. And this theme means that the word blessed in today's culture has often come to mean living a life of privilege, living a life of comfort. Using the term blessed or hashtag blessed has perhaps become a bit of a way of celebrating those moments where everything is going well and all seems right with the world. Or at least all seems right with one person's little corner of it. But actually, the blessedness that Mary expresses and celebrates in this passage, it really stands in stark contrast to our culture's attitude. By our standards, today's standards, Mary does not look very blessed. God has chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. But in practical terms, what does that mean for Mary? She is not from a family that can afford expensive food or clothing. She's probably a nobody, a peasant girl from a village. And her friends and neighbours would have seen her as a disgrace because she is unmarried and pregnant. And she'll soon learn from Simeon in a couple of passages later that if she hasn't already perceived it, that being the mother of the Messiah is kind of a very mixed blessing. She will bear the unspeakable grief of watching as her son is rejected, shamed, and crucified. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, Simeon says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. But actually, despite all of this, Mary praises God for honoring her. She perceives God's action in her life as consistent with God's saving action in history. The Mighty One, as she says, the Mighty One's agenda differs radically from the plans of human rulers. And the mother of the Messiah has experienced God's blessing. She's not hashtag blessed, but actually her blessing, like ours, is a cross-shaped blessing. T.S. Eliot memorably says, a condition of complete simplicity, costing not less than everything, and yet bringing true freedom, the priceless gift of God's salvation. So I wonder for us, how often we look at God's blessing on us in a hashtag blessed kind of way. When things are going well, when we have that really nice experience, that luxury experience, do we feel, oh yeah, we're blessed in this moment? As we journey in this Advent time into Christmas, how can we recognise God's blessing on us, a deeper blessing from God on each of us? Not just in the easy bits, but actually in the tough times too. That actually we need to remind ourselves of the bigger picture of God's saving grace, not just for me, not just for you, but for everyone. If we could have the next slide, please. So we're talking about this theme, the heart of Christmas, where we're seeking to get to the heart of what Christmas is all about. And we kind of hear this every year, that Christmas is too commercial, there are too many adverts going round, it's too hyped up around presents and all of these different themes that have just built up and built up over the years, and it's all about consumerism, and that actually Jesus is the reason for the season. I personally really hate that line. I'm sorry if you say that sometimes, and I know there is truth in it, but I wonder if you ever say that to someone, do they really connect with that? Do they really appreciate a line like that? But like I say, there is truth within that, of course. But actually, if we look back at Mary's song at the Magnificat, this is a real deep invitation for us to approach Christmas with a slower, more contemplative pace. And a song actually contains really shockingly radical words as well, where they are kind of unashamedly placed right at the beginning of Luke's gospel. I wonder how differently we might understand the birth of Jesus if we were to bring that into our nativities, if we were to bring Mary's song into our nativities, if we were to focus more on those words when we come into the time of Advent and Christmas. I think too often we really skip or skim over Luke's first chapter to kind of reach the more beloved chapter 2, which begins with the census and the words, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. We all know lines like that, don't we? We've all heard that time and time again in various different nativities. And then it continues until the shepherds find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. The Christmas story has over time to frequently become this sense of, I don't know, of preciousness, of maybe sickly sentimentality, of this almost, I don't know, this sickening sweetness if you had just eaten all of your chocolates in your advent calendar on the first day of December, when actually this super sweetening story happens, we can miss the radical nature of the claim that God is found not as the royal child of a queen, but as the son of an unmarried peasant. For he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. So this unwed teenager in this small religious town, how stunning it is that she, Mary, finds the courage to sing, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." And perhaps even more importantly, Mary's song is an introduction to the whole of the chapter, of the whole of the Gospel of Luke. Her lyrics set the tone for Jesus's radical and controversial ministry that's to come. She says the words, "You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You have brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." But actually, in contrast, this Christmas season, Christmas as a whole, often leaves people, many people, too hungry. And many people in debt as well. But Mary says the words, "My soul magnifies God." Mary magnified God because she was willing to partner with God, to bring about a new way of being. She was willing to partner with God and to say, "Let it be." And to recognize God's blessing, even in the midst of hard times. Through these words, we see that Mary recognized the heart of God's message in this season. But actually, the incarnation, God coming down here and dwelling amongst us, would change everything. Do we see this? We often see, or we will perhaps see, Easter as the real game changer. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And that is obviously a real game changer. Death is defeated. God brings new life now and forever. But this passage and this story, the Christmas story, the nativity, the incarnation, is also a massively radical act of God coming into the world through a lowly, unwed teenage girl and living amongst us. Jesus didn't just come here to die, but Jesus came to live here amongst us, to teach us his ways, to show those through his words, through his actions, and to live out the words that Mary sings in this very passage. And most importantly, he doesn't come to do that alone. Jesus comes and dwells amongst us to partner with us. And actually, when you look at it in that way, Mary is perhaps the first person to partner with the humanness of God. She is the first person to say, "Yes, I am going to journey with you in this. I'm going to partner with you in bringing about God's kingdom." So we're just going to listen to Mary's words once more. And as you listen to Mary's song, I'm not going to sing it, I'm afraid, but allow your soul to be uplifted with her open-hearted willingness to partner with God in birth and the new life in this world. So try and reflect on how Mary's willingness to magnify God and how her boldness to sing with confidence the words, "You have brought down the powerful from their thrones, you've lifted up the lowly, you've filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away." Dwell on those words and allow them to call us to something new, towards life-giving ways for celebrating Jesus' birth in this season. So if we could just have the words back up on the screen again. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." So as I just invite the band to come up, if you could, for a final song, I ask you guys the question of how are you being called to sing new words to Mary's song? Lyrics of hope, of peace, of joy and of love in this Advent and in the new year, so that your soul may ever more fully magnify God. If I could just have the final slide up, please. Yes, thanks. So, in conclusion, let it be. How does it feel to begin to pray an echo of Mary's open-hearted response? Where you say the words, "May it be so," just as you say, "Let it be." And how can we be reminded of God's blessing on us? Not hashtag blessed, but actually to thank God for blessings in the good times and the tough times, and to recognize our part in God's wider blessing too. And finally, the heart of Christmas, to reflect on what God's heart is for you this Christmas time. And all of these things lead to us magnifying God, to us making God bigger in our lives, to bringing God the praise. So in this final song, let us bring our praise to God as we seek to magnify him in this Advent and Christmas season. Amen. Glory to God, glory.
come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. Christ the Lord. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory, Christ the Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
You give life.
You give life. Love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
You give, it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Are you, Lord?
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Holy. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Okay, that brings our meeting now to a close. So. Just have a blessed week. Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend. See you next week at the light party. Tomorrow, next Sunday morning. Okay, goodbye.